Welcome
to the UUSM Connections Podcast, a podcast about how Unitarian Universalists of San Mateo connect to our beloved community. I'm your host, Jack Brennan. My guest today is Don Goldberg. Don is a new member at UUSM, but he's not new to Unitarian Universalism. Don and his wife, Barbara, were members at the Summit New Jersey UU congregation for more than 40 years. Before moving to Foster City last October to be closer to their daughters and grandkids. Don, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you. Thank you for inviting me.
I look forward to getting to know you a little better during this interview. Let's start at the beginning. Where were you born?
I was born in a hospital in Jersey City, New Jersey.
Okay.
Just north of where I grew up. Town called, actually a small city called Bayonne.
Okay. And tell our listeners about your childhood family, however you define that.
I raised in a network, that's what you refer to today as an extended family, a brother, a sister, parents, plus my uncle and grandmother lived with us.
Yeah. Interesting.
And we lived over the store that my grandparents had started and that my mother and father continued to run.
What kind of a store was it?
It was a wholesale jobber. When supermarkets in the 50s became more predominant, basically put them out of business, but they would buy from manufacturer and sell it to local bodegas, bars, restaurants, grocery stores, things like that. They were basically middlemen between the two ends.
Interesting. So your grandparents owned it and then your parents after that.
You are.
And then did either you or your siblings go into that business?
No. My parents knew that it was a dead end business and strongly advised us not to go into it, which we did.
Right. In what religion did you grow up?
I grew up Jewish. We kept kosher in our house. We went to an Orthodox synagogue in town. An Orthodox synagogue, I don't know that it's different today. Back then, you walked in and the men walked into the main chamber and the women went upstairs where they sat behind a veil so they couldn't be seen by the men down below and distracted, quote unquote. They're religious, and they have friends who are even more so Orthodox, ultra-Orthodox. And we've got to a couple of weddings where men and women don't dance with each other, even married men and women.
Where did you go to college?
I went to Rutgers, which is the state university in New Jersey. I always joke that growing up in Bayonne, it's a blue-collar industrial city known for its oil tank farms. It's heavily Catholic and Democratic. So I joke that the first time I ever met a Protestant were Republicans when I went to college, which was literally true.
Right. How did you decide to go to Rutgers?
I asked my friends, there's no big plan here. I asked my friends where they were going, and they mentioned two schools. I applied to those schools, got into both, and decided on Rutgers. I really didn't get guidance from my parents when we guided our kids or they're guiding their kids. It was pretty much, you're going to go to college, right? Okay, you take care of the details.
I was going to ask you if that was a given for you and your siblings that you would go to college.
It was. It was not a given in the town that we grew up in. Bayonne was an interesting town, rather insular. Geographically, it's a peninsula, so it has water on three sides. It's right across from New York. Got Newark Bay on one side, the East River on the other, and the Kilbon Col on the southern end, separating it from Staten Island, where the boroughs of New York City. So geographically, it's kind of self-contained, and people's mindset is like that. Highly segregated, as most towns were back then. Mostly, as I said, Catholic. The Jews all lived in one area. The blacks lived in another area. We did not live in the Jewish section. We lived in a blue collar downtown section where everyone on the block was either Irish, Polish, Italian. And then there was us. We were kind of apart from the small Jewish community in a largely Catholic town.
Yeah, interesting. Did you know going into college what you wanted to do after college?
No, not really. I didn't really know what I was going to do. I went to college, sophomore year, so you have to pick a major. I always had an interest in history, but I majored in, that was known as political science. I guess it's known as government now, minored in history. So, yeah, I just drifted along with no strong guidance or mentorship. Just kind of felt my way along.
And I know you ended up going to law school. Did you do that like right after you did your undergrad degree?
Yeah, I wasn't really planning on going to law school. I got a job out of college working for the Department of Employment in Newark, New Jersey. And then professor suggested I really should apply to law school. I said, it's kind of late now to do that. He said, well, give it a shot. He recommended one school in particular, New York University Law School, which I did, and I got accepted. So I decided, and yeah, that's what I'll wind up doing, but I did have an interest in the law. And so I did wind up going the following semester. I graduated in 1967, and so we're going right into the height of the Vietnam War, 10 to 1968. Compulsory draft. Unfortunately, I wound up with a low number in the draft, so I knew I was going to get drafted unless I found some way to evade it. I dropped out of law school after 1 year, and New York City was actively hiring male teachers in the grade schools because hiring female dominant, and they were even willing to pay for a crash summer course at New York University to get certified as a teacher. That's what I did. And of course, that was an exempt profession from the draft.
Mm-hmm.
It didn't work out well for me because the greatest tactical error, you have to pick a draft board to appear before to claim your exemption. Mm-hmm. You have to do it where you work, where you live. I was living in Bayonne, so I picked Bayonne. As it turned out, when I appeared before the draft board, they couldn't care less that I was occupying an exempt profession in another city. So they said, no, you're being drafted. Yeah, so I had to look at other options to stay. I really was morally against the war and also think I was going to die if I did go over there. So I looked for other ways to stay out of it.
And you managed to do that?
I did.
Good. Did you go back and finish law school?
Yeah, so I was teaching in New York. I got married. I had met Barbara and got married, and she encouraged me to go back to law school. That's after 2 years hiatus, I went back to law school. But I went back in the evening since I was working full-time during the day teaching.
I know that you and your wife, Barbara, have been married for 54 years. So instant, you had met her by this time. How did you two meet?
So we knew each other in college. I was 3 years older, so I was a senior when she was a freshman. And my older sister was also a freshman at Rutgers. And she started talking to me about this girl she knew in her class that would really be perfect for me, which was an immediate turnoff.
Of course.
My sister, and interestingly, she was talking to Barbara about the same thing, and Barbara had the same reaction. So it wasn't going anywhere. We did bump into each other. After I graduated and I was in law school, I had a friend, father owned the grocery store and gave me some tickets to a food exposition in New York. I'd gone to the exhibition, and afterwards there was a concert in Central Park, but who was playing there? I went over there, and I saw Barbara with some of her friends, and we chatted, and we both had a better impression of each other than we had got by referral.
Right.
And then we met again, I don't know, some months later at a bar, and had a good time speaking to her. I didn't ask her for her number, but when I got back to my house, I had an apartment at that point, called my sister up and asked her if she had Marvin's phone number. She, of course, was delighted to provide it. And I gave Barbara a call, and that's how it started.
Does your sister take credit for that?
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
and they remain good friends to this day.
When did you get married? What year?
Married in June of 1971. Got married in Barbara's mother's apartment in the town that she grew up in, the city of Irvington, another blue-collar bastion back then, industrial-type town. We had an issue with who's going to officiate. She wasn't comfortable with Judaism. I was with Catholicism. There was no rabbi/priest who would officiate together. So we wound up having the mayor of the town officiate.
Oh,
right. And mother-in-law's apartment.
Did that make both the families happy, or were they both upset?
Well, happy, yeah. Luckily, my parents really liked Barbara, but it was a concern for her mom.
I remember the time, which would be 1971, when a Catholic and Jewish person marrying, that would be a mixed marriage.
Yeah. Among Jews, there were only two religions. There was Jews and not Jews.
Yeah. I know that you went to law school and then you finished law school, but you didn't practice law.
When I graduated, study for the bar and take the bar. It was a period of months in between. So I needed a job in the meantime. And at that point, there was a big federal law that had been passed the year before of 1974 called ERISA, the Employee and Retirement and Security Act. There was an insurance company actively hiring law school graduates to work as a sales representative for corporate benefits to small and mid-sized companies.
Hmm.
And they felt law students would be able to understand this law and be able to implement it in the field. That's how I started with them. I did it on a temporary basis until I passed the bar. But when I did pass the bar, it was a recession, and the only jobs available were in the back room doing research for a larger practice. And I kind of liked being in a client-facing position that I had been dealing with CEOs, presidents of these and smaller companies. I figured, let me try it another 6 months, and more than 6 months after that. And finally, I decided to fish or cut bait. There's another analogy, more crude, that I could use. I decided to stay with what I was doing.
Yeah. You ended up never practicing law, right?
That's right.
And you went into finance.
Yeah. Well, I was working in the insurance field areas, implementing these qualified retirement plans and other group benefits, buyout agreements funded with insurance for the partners in these companies, things like that. Did that for 25 years. Point, there was an accountant I had become friendly with, who was a good source of referrals to me. And he had joined an investment firm called the Registered Investment Advisory Company. The issue is that there's a federal law where you act as a fiduciary, legally obligated to act in the best interest of clients. And that's how this firm was set up. So he was hired to take over marketing. They had an arrangement with Charles Schwab, where Charles Schwab was referring clients to them for investment and financial planning. I was in his office, where he had, at that point, fax machines was prevalent. And he was pointing, he said, the leads are literally pouring out of this machine, falling on the floor. He had 40-something in his hand. He said, Don, there's no way I can reach all these people. I need you to come over here and help. So it sounded like a good deal. I was going to really wear two hats. I would be the insurance specialist to the other financial planners in the firm, and I would have the opportunity to develop my own clientele for financial investment management. I was there with them for 19 years until I retired. The firm was bought out by a larger firm. I was at that point thinking that's a good time to retire. But both the owner of the company that was selling, as well as the owner of the company that was buying, both asked me to stay on. So I said, okay, I'll try it out. I saw the writing on the wall. Well, it was all much more technology driven than the old firm was. I'm an old guy. I was always 15 years older than the next oldest person in my company. And they were struggling with the technology. So I said, no, it's time to pick up.
You and Barbara got married and you had two daughters.
Yep.
What can you tell our listeners about your two daughters?
Two daughters, very different personalities. The older one, Jody, lives in Burlingame. She's a director with Google. Been there for about 10, 12 years now. And my younger daughter, Rebecca, works now as a consultant for the after-school not-for-profit community. Walked in expertise working for a family foundation for about 7, 8 years. When the foundation decided to close down, she had all these contacts and she started working with people as an independent in that same field. So, yeah, very different personalities, but they wound up ultimately my homes within a mile of each other. Burlingame and the other more than in San Mateo. They didn't want us for years to move out there, although we had resisted because everyone else, we know our relatives and friends were all back east. But my younger daughter was in LA for 5 years, but now it looked like she really is going to be here. She's married, a child, well. So we figured that combined with Barbara's health and challenges, I felt it was a good time to
I know you were members at this Unitarian Universalist Church for 40-some years.
Mm-hmm.
How did you get to the Unitarian Church? How did that happen?
Had some friends who were also Jewish, Catholic backgrounds, and they had joined. And then once Barbara became pregnant, we wanted to give our kids some religious orientation, and we felt that was a good compromise between the two religions.
So the girls were raised in the UU church.
Yeah, yeah. Not that it stuck with them, but yes, that's how they
were. Yeah. How did your daughters end up out here?
My older daughter got a job. It's not business anymore, called Hot Job. It's a resume company. And through that, she started talking to this guy who grew up in Hawaii, living in San Francisco, and his own company wanted to, I guess, you know, look to recruit some people. Anyway, they got talking to each other and developed a telephone business relationship. And then he found reason to fly into New York City, where Bill was living at that time, and realized they'd be together. After living in New York for a while, which he hated, he said, how about trying San Francisco? So she went out there. And she always wanted to go to college in California. We said, it's too far away. So this was her opportunity to get to California. Then our younger daughter went to college and started dating this guy who grew up in Southern California.
Uh-huh.
They graduated, got jobs in San Francisco. So that's how we both wound up in this area.
Yeah. And so you guys moved out here in what school year?
We had actually bought our place a year earlier than that, but we were still going back and forth, figuring we would eventually move out. Yeah, we wanted to do another little schedule plan. That's what we did.
And how do you like it here?
I like it. I kind of miss not having snow in the winter, but I could definitely do without the humidity and mid-90s summer temperatures in New Jersey. So the weather is a lot more pleasant back here, for sure. And it's easier to get out in the country from here than it is in New Jersey. It's really pretty close. A couple of days ago, I went bicycling Crystal Springs Reservoir. It's 15 minutes from the house.
It's
15 minutes from where I was living in New Jersey, remotely resembling that.
Yeah. You know, we still are astonished by just the physical beauty of this area. What's the most common thing for people to say when you tell them where you're from?
Yeah, you know, New Jersey has always been the butt of jokes. I guess it will always be. Most of them are unfair. But yeah, the thing I really can't take is if I tell people of New Jersey, a typical response is, New Jersey? Did you live on 20 Toy Street? I've never met anyone in New Jersey, by the way. I just love the advice.
I love that. You've been coming to UUSM for a while. When was the first time that you knew you belonged at UUSM?
Yeah, I don't know if there was any one time per se, but the first time we went, looking around, and the physical plant is different than what we were used to, but the people were interchangeable with the ones we had gone to, health services with back in New Jersey. Very much the same kinds of people. Mm-hmm. Educated, open-minded, outgoing, accepting of differences. Yeah.
Well, we are glad that you're with us, that's for sure. Okay, we're going to wrap this up with some quick hitter questions. All right, are you ready?
Okay.
Who or what completely changed the direction of your life?
Yeah, when I was 14, I was crushing on this girl. After her first wore off, which was a couple of months, I really liked her mother. So I maintained a relationship with her mother for 10 years, and her mother really introduced me to art and culture, classic music, art, left-wing politics. I mean, like, seriously, left-wing politics. She really enriched my life and changed, I think, the direction of it.
What was the first concert you ever attended, and how did you get there?
First concert was in the Brooklyn Academy of Music in Brooklyn. There was a popular DJ on the radio back then called Murray the K. The K, name was Kaufman. And he would bring in these acts, but they weren't the typical top 40 acts. I had no interest in listening to Cat Boone and things like that. But he had mostly R&B acts that he brought in. I went with friends of mine. I think I drove him 17 at the time. I really didn't have got concerts before that. And he warmed up the crowd by telling a series of ethnic jokes, any one of which would get you fired today.
Yeah.
The show was great. So that was my first concert. We were involved in what's known as doo-wop music. Fred and boy sang in doo-wop groups. I can't count the tune, but I would be a doo-wop groupie hanging out. And what was interesting is that as segregated as a town was, then the doo-wop groups were integrated. They would practice, and I'd be over at my kid's house practicing and listening to their practice and over at white kid's house, and Italian kid's house, Irish kid's house, Jewish kid's house. And it gave me some exposure to other cultures, viewpoints that I wouldn't ever have had otherwise.
What kind of car were you driving when you were 17? Was it your own car?
Yeah, I was 17 is my father's.
Okay. Remember what it was?
1957 Plymouth.
All right.
I remember the first time you let me drive it while my own. As soon as I turned the corner, I floored it and see how fast it would go. I'm still somewhat surprised, if not amazed, that I survived. I did a lot of stupid things.
Yeah, that's what youth is for, right? What news story did you hear this week that you weren't sure was really true?
Pretty much anything out of the Trump administration would qualify.
What sound instantly stresses you out?
I really don't like the sound pickleball paddles hitting the ball. Of course, there's a pickleball court about a block from where I live. And if I sit on the deck, I can hear it.
You know, that was the question I was about to ask you. It's, do you live near a pickleball court? I've never played pickleball, and I've never watched anybody play pickleball. So I don't know what that sound is, and that stresses you out when you hear it.
It'll be Usher without.
Yeah. Okay. What's more popular than it deserves to be?
I'll stick with the pickleball theme here.
Yes.
I think it's a fad. Just like racquetball was a fad back in the 80s.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. As I said, I know very little about it, except I know that the people who engage in it are like all in.
Oh, yeah.
You might hear from some people about your anti-pickleball stance. What is something you'd like to learn to do? Let me guess. Pickleball?
No. I actually did try because a neighbor who was all in, you know, he said, come on, you got to try it. I tried it.
No.
Not interesting. I would like to learn to windsurf.
Sure.
I tried it once at a resort, Caribbean. But you need more time practice to be able to.
Well, not a close by ocean, you know.
Yeah.
What topic could you speak about with no advanced preparation for 30 minutes?
I've been retired for 5 years, but I still would have no problem talking about those areas that I developed expertise in. Not that anyone would be interested in hearing 30 minutes on annuities or life insurance, but I could still.
Well, you get the right audience. Okay, so this is the setup for this last question. You're the organizer of a music festival. All on you. Name three musical acts, living or dead, who are going to headline your festival.
Yeah, that's a tough one. Definitely Vivaldi. They were classical composer. And then I also go along with jazz, so maybe Miles Davis. I like blues, Benny King, Grateful Dead, Tito Puente. Those are the names that come to mind.
Oh, that's going to be a really interesting music festival.
Yeah.
I like that. Vivaldi, Miles Davis. Oh, yeah, that's going to be something. Thanks so much for sitting down with me, Don, for this interview. I really had a good time talking to you. I did learn things I didn't know about you, which is always my goal in these interviews. And you made it really interesting for me and for our listeners.
I enjoyed it as well.
Great. Thanks, as always, to our listeners. Keep making connections.